You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So welcome to another episode. I'm really pumped about today's guest. It's been a long time coming. This has been one of those episodes that's kind of been booked in and then rescheduled and then booked in and then rescheduled. And what I love about situations like that is I'm a big believer in perfect timing. And so, yeah, I feel like it's going to be juicy because it's kind of been, it's been brewing for a while. So I'm very excited to introduce a very good friend of mine, Natasha Black. Welcome, Tash.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. So let's kick off with, can you tell, for those in my audience who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the world?
Yep. So I am a mum. I'll start there, of two beautiful boys, happily married. I started my journey with coaching and healing probably about 5 years ago. And I've been through all different spaces in that time, just trying to figure out, you know, where my energy is more potent in the space. And yeah, I've done lots of different things. I do massage therapy, quantum healing, which I basically call supersized Reiki. And, you know, I do lots of intuitive coaching now. So I love what I do now. It's really amazing. I kind of like to work with people, I guess, in essence, is just to open their hearts, really connect. So I started my coaching journey studying NLP, and something happened with that course and I couldn't finish it. And so I went on to try and find a practitioner that I resonated with, and I couldn't find one. And then I realized, like, I have to go on a bit of a different journey. And I started to realize that modality for me, I don't want to speak into anyone else's experience, but for me was a little bit too much in the mind. And I really wanted to bring that heart piece into it, you know, that intuitiveness into, you know, people's noticing their behavior, but also just feeling their energy and just noticing little idiosyncrasies that, you know, maybe we can be schooled out of, if that makes sense. So yeah, for me, in all of the work that I do, it's basically about showing people how they can open their heart. You know, when we do that, we can naturally connect to ourselves and remove limiting beliefs and distortions in our mind that we have. Just by doing that, we can have better relationships by removing the walls that are around our heart. And yeah, I love the work that I do. I think it's very deep work, but I think it's very important. And now I say that I like to ground the galactic. So I am very much into ethereal spiritual stuff, concepts, but I also love bringing it into a very human sense and a very real sense, and grounding that piece, just, you know, being real with it as well. I think it's all important, it's all connected. So yeah, I just basically love to bring it all together for people and just expand their minds, I guess, and expand their hearts and their consciousness. So yeah, that's in essence what I do.
Beautiful. Can I ask how, like, what led you to get started in the coaching kind of world?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I started when my son was, I think he was one, we were introduced to an MLM company. And at the time, Me and my husband thought, you know, what the hell? Like, it's, we knew the person that had introduced us. She was a naturopath and we really trusted her. It was a health products company. And we just thought, what the hell? Let's give it a go. So we did that for about 3 years, I think. Really enjoyed that whole experience. For me, looking back, I really learned about myself, my own limiting beliefs, moving through my own distortions and, you know, just wanting to learn more and more and more. Like, I basically became a self-development junkie. And it got to a point where, for the business side of it, I was not enjoying it. Actually, my favorite part of this company and what I did with this work was coaching people through their 30-day experience. And I loved that part of it, but the rest of it I could have thrown in the bin, you know? So I started coming across these blocks with people where they could only get to a certain point and then they couldn't get any further. And it was happening a lot. And I just felt like, oh, there must be something else here. Like, there must be another way that I can help people on a deeper level. This just felt very surface level for me. And so I didn't even know what coaching was back then. And I can't even remember how I enrolled into the NLP course. I don't know how it came across, but I just kept saying, like, I feel like there's a deeper way that I can help people. And yeah, this NLP course came into my view, and I was like, this is exactly what I want to learn. I want to learn how to go beyond the superficial stuff and really help people unlock why they're doing things or what makes them tick or what makes them not be able to complete something, you know, basically, in essence, the limiting beliefs and our sabotaging behavior. So yeah, that's what kind of led me into the coaching space. And ever since then, I've just loved it. I've done lots of different modalities and little courses and just learned along the way. But also for me, I think a massive piece of how I coach is how I've moved through and healed myself. So I will only ever coach someone with what I've already moved through. And, you know, even then, I will say to someone that this works for me. You know, we can explore different ideas and options for them, but, you know, what works for me may not work for the next person. But I think for me, a lot of the wisdom and a lot of the knowledge has come from my own healing. I think it's amazing to do courses and really do that. I think it's really important and necessary. But I think a lot of the depth of how I coach is from my own healing experiences.
I love that. You and I have had quite a few conversations, you know, over the time of us knowing each other around, that piece of like really having integrity and alignment in what we choose to speak on and what we choose to coach on and how we choose to guide and support people. I really love that that's something that you choose to live by.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And, you know, I know that you can just do like a 1 week coaching course and become a coach and charge lots of money. I know that's something that's present in the industry. And so, you know, I really feel strongly about being in integrity with this work because, you know, if you're sitting with a client and you're taking them through an emotional piece, you've got their whole trust and everything in the palm of your hands, basically. And I just feel like it's such a responsibility to them to be able to show up with integrity. You know, and it's not just an industry where you can make lots of money from, you know, saying a few affirmations. It's like, it's really, to me, it's very serious work. It's very important that we make people feel empowered and we're really doing the right thing by others because I feel like if we're not doing that, then we're just perpetuating more mental health issues. And I just feel very strongly about this, the integrity piece. And I also love that you are the same.
Well, I mean, I feel like, and there's a lot of conversation about this, but the coaching industry, it's not regulated, right? And so I think that that's both a blessing and a curse. It's a curse in the sense that it's not regulated, so anyone can just decide,
tomorrow that they want to be a coach and start charging people, you know, basically whatever amount of money they want for whatever they want,
yeah,
even if there's absolutely, you know, nothing kind of to back up what they're choosing to do.
Yeah.
I think the blessing is, though, that coaches don't have a certification to hide behind,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's like we can't just go, here's my piece of paper, here's proof that I know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
And it means that if we're not fucking doing our work consistently, people feel it.
Yes.
Right? You know, this isn't a shit on like, you know, more of, I guess, your mainstream kind of mental health work, but like your counselors, psychs, all of that have the luxury, and I would hope that this isn't the case. Yeah, they have this luxury of just going, well, here's my certification, and they can kind of hide behind that.
Yep.
Whereas the coaching realm, you know, I know for me, it's like, oh man, like I feel like every time I decide to coach on something, I mean, of course, I don't coach on anything that I haven't already, I don't feel like I'm already have been initiated into, but it's like, yep, every time I make the decision to coach on a particular topic, I get initiated again. You know, it's like there's, yes, another level. I was laughing to my clients a couple of months ago that I did a masterclass on high performance nervous system regulation. And in the marketing, I was talking a lot about being able to, you know, make decisions under like massive financial pressure, being able to make decisions under massive relational pressure.
Yeah.
And literally to the day I decided to do the masterclass, it was like my whole world imploded. And all of a sudden I'm under all this relational pressure, all this financial pressure. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like my world's falling apart. And then I sat with it and I was like, oh my God, like I'm being initiated. Like, are you able to fully embody the thing you're about to teach?
Yes. So yes. And, you know, I really feel strongly about this too. If you need to have a break because you're moving through your own healing, like, yes, we're coaches, but it doesn't mean to say that we don't have our own stuff to move, yeah, through. Take a rest. You know, that is also an integrity to yourself, mm, and the clients to take a rest and say, I can't show up for you, like you say it in your own words, but basically you can't show up for someone with full power.
Mm.
And so taking that time off to heal and to move through something is so important. And I always find that whenever I do that, I come back and like the energy is doubled and I'm just like on my game again, you know?
Yes.
So it is so important to take that time away and just to, it's tricky because sometimes I know you can get in that mind frame of, oh, but if I don't work, I don't get paid, you know. So then it's also leaning into that abundance piece of, mm, trusting that, you know, you will be provided for.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, and you and I have spoken at length about this, I think it's that piece around like the urgency culture.
Yep.
You know, like we live in a society where everything's urgent. And so that urgency piece, it's actually like it's driven by a scarcity. It's driven, yep, by a trauma. It's driven by like a real, an underlying energy of survival. I think that one of the key things that makes a coach an incredible coach is when they can, well, and not just a coach, you know, anyone in any industry, but particularly, yes, the coaching industry, when you can learn how to relax, mm-hmm, and choose from relaxation, like everything shifts. You know, I definitely was one of those coaches who was like for many years operated from, but I can't take a break because my money stops coming in.
Yep.
And now I've sort of taken a step back and gone, okay, well, I'm just going to play the game a little bit differently in the sense of when I'm on, I'm building with the long term in mind.
Yeah.
So when I have the space and the capacity, I create with the long game in mind so that in those moments where I do need to really take a step back and self-care, I've set myself up so that the money doesn't stop just because I have.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's, it's a smart way of doing business. It's a smart way of doing life for, you know, anyone in any industry, you know, like play the game with longevity in mind.
100%. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's about trusting, but also like by doing that, we're giving others permission to be able to stop and heal themselves as well and not keep going and like keep adding on to the trauma, you know, that trauma response.
Yeah.
But yeah, just trusting that you're going to be provided for and just removing that old paradigm of hustle and success. Like, it's just not working. You know, we look all around us and we see that everyone hustling and like there's so many burnouts, you know. Most people have heart attacks on a Monday, I think it is, and it's just so
crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, I think, redefining what success looks like is really important. So, yeah, to be able to take those breaks and know when you need to take a break and be okay to, it's really good.
I actually wrote a post about this morning. I haven't released it just yet. I remember this quote, and I don't know whether someone said this to me or I dreamt it or it came to me in a medicine journey, or I can't recall where it came from. I just know that it dropped in at some point. Basically, in a nutshell, is, you know, something along the lines of don't fall into like rushing for the sake of like urgency. Instead, play with integrity in mind. Right?
Yes.
Give me one sec. Let me just quickly pull it up so that I don't completely butcher this quote.
I do that all the time.
Here we go. Yeah. It may take a little longer and still stay to the path of integrity.
Mm.
So basically, you know, saying that like, yeah, like playing with integrity in mind, it takes a little bit more of building the foundation, you know?
Yeah.
It's laying the root structure of the tree. And so it looks less impressive and it doesn't happen as quickly.
Yeah.
But you know, it's beginning with the end in mind. And I've definitely had times, particularly in business and in my dating world, where I felt like I'm behind, like I'm a late bloomer.
Yeah.
But looking back, I'm like, no, like, because I haven't sold my soul anywhere along the line, yes. You know? And so I know that I've built this really strong, solid structure where whatever I build from that foundation is everything I want it to be, because I took the time to really like pull the weeds from the soil, to, you know, survey the lands, to make sure that the soil was nourished, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And then I think like really being in integrity that this is your work. If you are just doing coaching for the sake of doing coaching, knowing that it's a well-paying industry, you know, you will burn out very quickly. But if you love what you do and you are in integrity with what your soul wants to do, you know, I think you can play the long game a lot easier. And it's, you know, like I know I'll be working till I'm like 90. I just know it.
Yes.
You know, I love what I do so much. And I know that, like you said, it's such a long game. And I hope that I can work till I'm 90, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same. I want to be. I always think of Wayne Dyer.
Yes,
dude was working until the day he died, and I have every intention that will be the way that I live my life, because my work is a testament of my life, and my life is a testament of my work.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
I wasn't going to share this, but I saw a post this morning by a woman named Simone Grace. I don't know how to say her last name. Siol.
Okay.
And she put out a post saying, one of the biggest moves I made this year, I stopped looking for business mentors on the basis of how much money they're making. Here's why. And the caption, I'm going to skip a few lines here. But she said, basically, I started to look exclusively for mentors where if either a totalitarian dystopia or nuclear apocalypse happened and systems of money and commerce as we know it were wiped out, I would look to them for spiritual leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted mentors who were not the top 0.01% of financial success, but the top 0.01% of integrity.
Yeah.
Examples of choosing against the grain over and over because they are firmly in service of a spirit-led vision rather than winning gold stars in the world. Examples of saying no to the kind of money and fame that others would kill for, not because they don't want it, but because it would cost their souls. Sorry, because what it would cost their souls is not worth it. Not because I don't want to make more money, not because I think the pursuit of money is dirty or bad or irredeemably compromised by toxic capitalism. On the contrary, I love money. Sorry, this is a bit of a long one.
That's good.
I'm going to make crap tons more, and I have so much faith and optimism in what money under truly humane capitalism can do. But I realized a crucial fact. Learning how to play the rigged game well enough to make 6, 7, 8 figures with boatloads of privilege is actually so much easier than making a fraction of that from a business that refuses to play along with the rules and standards of supremacy systems. At the end of the day, this is a bit that got me. At the end of the day, I want to be able to look at the woman whose ancestral lands have been forever destroyed by global warming in the eye and not be embarrassed to tell her about my business. I want to look at a jailed political descendant oppressive country in the eye and not be embarrassed to tell him about my business. I want to look at war refugees who are living in makeshift shelters with small children in the eye and not be embarrassed to tell them about my business. I want to tell them, this is the work I'm doing. This is how I make money. This is how much money I have. This is who I make money with, and this is what I do with my money, and not want to crawl out of my skin. That's my goal, and I choose mentors who I know will nod and point the way because they're walking it.
Oh, church.
I know. I read that and I was like, oh, dang. Like,
that is so bang on, like perfectly articulated.
I know.
I 100% agree with all of that. It's just she's articulated that, and yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. I really sat with it and I was like, yeah, I want my business to be a marker of that. My business gets to continue to be a marker of that, you know, where, yeah, I can look people in the eye and not be embarrassed, you know, to know that my work is serving them, not kind of spitting in their face, you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that is such a powerful post.
Yeah.
And right there is exactly redefining success. And
yes.
Oh, it's just so good, so amazing. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. I remember years ago going to a very well-known hairdresser based in Adelaide who globally recognized, like he does a lot of styling for, you know, like the runways and stuff, like globally.
Yeah.
And so very financially successful, very, very successful in his vocation. I remember going into his salon and, you know, having a chat with him, and they had signs all up in the salon about how, you know, like all of their water is, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they basically the way where they source their water from was all environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't wasting water. So they had tops on the basins and that limited the water that would go down the, you know, and then yeah, like stuff like all of their products were like non-toxic to the environment.
Yeah,
I just remember being like, fuck yes,
totally,
like, this is boss, that, you know, this guy's killing it, and he's spending that little bit extra and making sure that they're adding to the good in the world and not, you know, not exploiting it, you know.
That's right. And I think, you know, I had this interesting conversation the other day where someone was talking about robots. There was this restaurant apparently on the Gold Coast where the robots are serving your meals. And someone said, oh, no, like we can't have robots serving and doing all this, like it's taking our jobs. And I had this idea and I was like, what if the robots are going to, you know, if this is going to happen, like more frequently, what if they took all the jobs that we're not really into?
Yes.
And it opens up a space where we're actually creating our work from like our deepest passions and desires.
Yes. You know?
And this is it. It's like the possibility of, you know, not going into, oh, where's the next industry that can make me money and I can be a millionaire and provide for my family and even give back to charity if you want. But it's like, what is in alignment with me? And I can create whatever I want. Like there is so much possibility, like every possibility exists. So it's leaning into that truth and that trust, I guess, to say that whatever I create, I can make money from.
Yeah. I've always thought that it's like the, you know, and I mean, I know that there is very differing opinions on artificial intelligence and all of that sort of stuff, but I do believe the same, you know, that they're not taking our jobs. They're actually creating spaciousness for us to move out of this survival mechanism that we've, you know, humanity has lived from since the beginning of time, to actually, as you said, like choosing careers from intention, choosing careers from like what would deeply light me up, like what is the thing that I would love until the day that I die and would happily get paid for.
That's it. And for the betterment and the evolution of Earth in a positive way, like if, you know, like this hairdresser, imagine if every industry was created with that such high intention, or there's all these other jobs or industries that are created just from someone going, oh, the world needs this now, so let's create that. And, you know, we work alongside AI. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it just got me thinking, well, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Like, maybe it can work, and maybe this is, you know, maybe happening for a reason.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just, I like to kind of ponder all sides of the coin. And so I just thought, yeah, I wonder what that would look like.
That excites me, the thought of that.
Totally. It's really empowering.
So it's no secret that in the past I've struggled with body dysmorphia, I've struggled with a disordered relationship with food, and that I've seen the light and I've really found a way to grow beyond that. And yet I have conversations day in and day out with women who are still really trapped in that struggle. And I think that the industry is so focused on this one-dimensional way of quote unquote solving this issue that I wanted to change the game, because I know that you desire the kind of relationship with your body that feels unshakable, that feels like a team, that has you feeling confident, sexy, grateful, powerful. And I know that, like many others, you've probably tried everything. And so I'm here to show you a fresh way. I'm here to show you a different way of looking at this. And I'm here to really help you, to support in shifting this, because on the other side of that trapped feeling around food and around your body image is complete and utter freedom. And so I'm putting on a masterclass called Healing Body Image and Food on October 20th. It's a live masterclass. If you can't make it live, the replay will be available. And you can register at www.briannabowley.com/healingbif. As always, the link is in the show notes.
Yeah, I have so many conversations with people around, like, you know, like clients who are stuck in a job that they don't like.
Yep. And
it's like, what's the thing that if you didn't have to suffer to make money, like if you operated beyond that old story that you had to be in pain in order to make money, you had to sell your soul in order to make money, like, yep. What would you do? What would you want to do?
Oh,
the amount of times that I get an answer like, oh, no, you can't make money doing whatever it may be, you know, like I work with a lot of athletes. You can't make money being an athlete.
Yeah.
Why not? That's why the fuck not? Like, if you're willing to get creative enough and resourceful enough, the sky is really the limit, you know? Like, I know people who make millions of dollars annually by literally sharing their dog on social media.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And it just takes one person to make that industry viral.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like coaching, for example, there would have been one person that really paved the way for that, and now it's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, there's just so much opportunity, and yeah, there's always one to kind of start the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like who would have thought even those, you know, those family stickers that people put on the backs of their car, like something like that, you're just like, wow, I cannot believe that was such a successful business. But,
yeah.
You know, whatever, yeah. They felt it, they did it, and yeah, it was great.
Yeah. You know, I think of like I got started in the coaching industry 11 or 12 years ago. And when I got started in coaching, I was living in Adelaide, and back then it was like, I mean, Adelaide still is very behind in terms of the coaching scene. I think it's only just starting to really take off now.
Okay.
But I remember back then, like, there were no coaches in Adelaide, and I had never heard of a successful coach.
Yeah, right.
I just remember, you know, I was working as a personal trainer at the time, and I started to go, okay, well, like, these physical transformations, like, the successful ones there's another layer. And so yeah. I was like, I wonder if I could basically do personal training, but, like, from mindset.
Yes.
And I remember being like, I have no example of this being possible. Like, I don't know anyone who does this.
Yeah.
But it made sense. Like, if personal training is a thing, if people go to someone and pay them to train their body, why wouldn't people go to someone to train their mind?
Yes.
And so, you know, I mean, I had no fucking idea whether it was going to work, but here I am, you know, 11, 12 years later, and it's worked.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because as I started to try and kind of build this business and build this concept in my head, suddenly I started coming across people who were doing it and weren't financially successful, you know. I still remember the first day I came upon a YouTube video of a guy named Preston Smiles, you know, who was actually the guy that was responsible for you and I connecting, you know. And I remember seeing a YouTube video of him and then kind of digging into what he does, and I was like, oh, my God. This guy does the thing that I created. Like, this guy does the thing that I thought didn't exist, and he's thriving and traveling the world doing it with his partner, and oh my God, this is possible, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. I actually saw him at like the company that I was with, the MLM company. He came and spoke at an event. And I thought the same. I was like, oh my God. Like, I want to, like, not necessarily be on the stage, but I want to be doing this kind of work. Like, it was pretty amazing. And then Peter Kelly, I'm not sure if you know her, she loved how they spoke and that they just ponder everything and help people move beyond their own limits. That was just, for me, I just loved it. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It made me fall in love with, you know, what I didn't know back then, but the coaching space.
Yeah. You know, and I think the main thing is having the courage to just innovate and to try something new.
100%.
You know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that worry to get it wrong or to, you know, like I've done so many things and got it wrong and altered as I went. But, yeah, I think you're right. Like you can't be afraid to just go, oh, well, that didn't work, next.
Yeah. I mean, back before Uber Eats existed, I met a guy in an event who created a business called Delivery Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Delivery Boys, something like that. And he created that business, and it literally was just that him and his mates were sitting drunk at home one night. We're like, fuck, wouldn't it be great if we could get, like, Macca's delivered to us?
Yeah.
You know? And they were like, fuck, let's do it. And so they created this business. And, I mean, let's be honest, how many times, I know for me, when I used to drink a lot, the amount of times I would sit at home and be like, fuck, I wish I could get Macca's delivered, you know? And I just never thought to do anything with that idea. And yet this guy did. And then, I mean, of course, Uber Eats came along and kind of destroyed that idea. I think his business did end up going under.
Yeah, right.
Uber Eats was just too big. But, fuck, like, he just saw an idea and he capitalized on it, you know, when so many others had the same idea and just didn't take action.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they say that, I could be totally getting this wrong, but I'm pretty sure I heard that 4 people will have the same idea, 2 will do nothing about it, 1 will be successful at it because they'll persist and the other one won't be. So, it's interesting. I just remember reading that a while ago. Yeah, it is fascinating.
Yeah, it's again, it's that willingness to try something different.
Sure. And just not being afraid, I think, and just backing yourself. Or you know, I think the more that you listen to, where you listen to stories of even successful people saying, yeah, like for the first 10 years I was, you know, doing this and I was failing at this and had so many no's. I think if everyone knew more of how successful people have become successful, they'll probably back themselves a little bit more and realize that, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight and they just kept persisting. They had a vision.
Yes.
And they had something on their heart and they just kept going and they didn't let the no's dishearten them. But, you know, of course there's going to be disheartening moments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the journey.
Yeah.
I always think of Lorna Jane Clarkson.
Oh.
And, like, for me, when I got started in business, I spent a lot of time, like, reading the stories of successful entrepreneurs, you know, Lorna Jane, Richard Branson, you know, even people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, because I loved hearing about all the challenges that they had to go through.
Totally.
So, you know, Lorna Jane Clarkson, like, she kicked off this huge industry of activewear for women.
Yeah.
Literally, her story was just that she, you know, started going to classes at the gym and would look around at what all the women were wearing and what was like, fuck, all these clothes are so ugly. Like, they don't have anything nice for women to exercise in.
And
so she started making clothes that looked fashionable for women to go to the gym in.
Yeah, amazing.
You know? And so she would show up to these classes wearing what she'd created, and then women started coming up to her saying, oh my God, where did you get that from?
Yeah.
And she would go, oh, I made it. And they'd go, can you please make me some?
Yep.
And then before, you know, she's just taken off like a global empire. And you know, now there's all these kind of spin-off brands, but ultimately she created women's fashionable activewear.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and that just started with her going, this is shit that I have to go to the gym feeling like a pleb. Like, I want to look fashionable when I go to the gym.
Yeah, for sure. And something that just popped up for me then was I've had lots of clients who, you know, have wanted to actually lean into the space of coaching as a result of us working together. But then they'll say things like, oh, but there's already so many, like, you know, there's, it's such a competitive industry. But, you know, I want to encourage someone that if that is what you want to do, if that is on your heart to do that, then lean into it, because no one will do it like you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's like we all have different ways of bringing a similar message. And whoever wants to work with you will work with you, and whoever wants to work with the next person will work with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with competition. You know, we just all do it differently. And, yeah, I think that's something that I just wanted to briefly speak into, because I know that a lot of my clients have felt like that. You know, I can't well-known industry, and I feel like I'm just a nobody that's going to start and come up against all these big wigs, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it reminds me of, and I wasn't going to speak on this, but like I mentioned it on my podcast last week, I that I do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I had a competition that I was going to enter coming up, and I put out a post asking for sponsorship, asking any, you know, for any businesses that might be interested in supporting me financially to get there. You know, of course, it's people have their opinions on it. So I got quite a bitey little message from someone basically saying, like, don't try to monetize jiu-jitsu. You need to earn the right to make money from it, basically. And, you know, like, and I mean, that is how it's always been done in the jiu-jitsu world. There's a quote unquote, like, line, an imaginary line where suddenly you're allowed to, suddenly you've earned it, suddenly you deserve it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I look at that and I go, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, you're like, that's your reality, not mine.
Yeah, like I deserve to be handsomely paid and for every facet of my life, and that's not bad. Like, that's actually intelligent, and that allows me the space to, first of all, to support businesses who want to support me. That's the main piece, who want to support me. I'm not holding a gun to their head saying, give me money, and cross-promoting with them and allowing their business to, you know, it's a mutual, it's a value exchange.
Yep.
And just because that's always the way it's been done doesn't mean that that's the way it has to continue.
Oh,
and I don't believe in, you know, there's this archetype of the broke artist, the broke athlete, the broke, you know, coach, the broke healer. Fuck that.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
I think that we all get to thrive and we all get to rise together. And regardless of whether, you know, I'm a blue belt with a million medals behind me, or a black belt with, you know, a million world champion titles behind me, or just a white belt who's literally just stepped on the mat, like, what the fuck wouldn't I?
You know? And you also, like, you know, if that was to happen, you're showing others that they can do that too.
Yes, exactly. You know, and that's the thing. Like, it's very important to me that everything that I do is a message. You know, like, my business is a message. My dating life is a message. Like, I want everything to have meaning and to have purpose. And so my sporting career is no different.
Yeah.
I want it to be of service to people in as many different ways as possible. First of all, being a message of what's possible.
Yes.
As well as, you know, like, creating space for businesses to make more money from my success. You know, it's exactly. Shared glory.
That's right. Exactly. Like, you're creating abundance on more than one level.
Yes.
And yeah, like, giving others permission. But I love that it's just, you're breaking a mold, because, you know, like, I think a lot of us are learning that there is no mold, and it will come more and more and more in every industry, every facet of life, that there is no box.
Yes.
Like, and we just have to live beyond the box. And this is the, where I speak into the quantum reality. It's like, everything is possible.
Yes.
Everything is there for us to take if we choose it.
Yeah.
So it's so empowering. I love that you've done that, because it's like, yeah, no, this is my reality, I'm choosing this, and that's what I decide, and I can make it happen. And I think when people, you know, say, if you are a healer and you are broke, and you keep saying that to yourself, then that's a reality that you're choosing for yourself.
Yeah.
But if you start saying, no, like, this can pay me very handsomely if I choose, and I have to be innovative in the way that I create my healing business and do something a little bit different, or just choose that I'm going to be well paid for my gifts and talents and I deserve that, you can live in a very different space. Like, two different healers can have two different realities.
Totally.
Just by the state of their consciousness. So yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. You know, and I wanted to share that story as well to say that, like, you will have people question it, you know, yeah. Like, that's an inevitable piece. And yet I think it's so important to have the vision be so much bigger than anyone's opinion.
Yeah.
You know, because I could have so easily received that message and gone, fuck, is he right? Am I a bad person? Yep. Did I do something wrong? Did I break the rules? Oh my God. People are going to think I'm greedy. People are going to think I'm bad. People, you know, all of that. And then I sat with myself and I went, hang on, what was my initial intention behind this?
Yeah.
My initial intention was that everyone wins.
And yes.
To revolutionize and innovate the industry and share a more empowering, abundant message. So I'm good. Like, thanks for your opinion, and I'm going to keep doing me.
1,000,000%. And okay. Our whole work is about helping people rise above our limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
So you're just doing that, you know, it's a message in the way that you're doing that to show people that that's a reality. You're like, yeah. You're putting it into practical terms,
yeah.
Or practical way.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, I hope people really hear that. Yeah, there will be people who kind of shit on what you choose to do because they're used to the old way and they're dedicated to the old way. And that's cool. Like, yeah. If it works for them, it works for them.
That's it.
And if you choose something different for yourself and something different feels better for you, well, then rock the fuck out of that.
That's it. Oh, I've had multiple opinions over the years in what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. And, you know, it is hard. Like, when that first comes at you, it feels really unfair.
Mm.
And it feels really, you know, I've done a lot of healing around this, that it just triggered my own insecurities in myself, you know.
Yes.
So each time that's happened to me, I had to go into myself and say, like, why is this triggering me so much? And then I've always come back to, oh, it's because I'm not backing myself.
Yes.
I'm not backing myself. And, you know, it's happened recently to me and I'm like, nah, this is my truth. This is what I'm sharing. I will never change. And as you said before, I will never sell my soul to anything that doesn't feel like me.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's just, okay, this is another opportunity to rise above and back myself. And in doing so, give others permission to do that as well. I think when we play in that game of other people's projections or limiting beliefs on you, you're halting that evolution, I guess, or that expansion of what's possible for others.
Yes.
And I really think that the ones that are probably the most judged for things are really the ones who are supposed to push the envelope and create something new.
Yeah. I think that, you know, leadership requires taking arrows.
Oh yeah.
You know, in leadership, you go first, which means that you're on the front line, which means that whatever gunfire, whatever ammo gets kind of thrown your way, like, you're right at the forefront.
Yep.
Like you said, it's scary and it hurts. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've had my fair share over the last, you know, 11 or 12 years of really like, this isn't fair. Like, can't you see my heart? Can't you see what I'm actually doing here? You know, and even when I got that recent message, I was like, wow, do you not see my heart?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and because I've known this person for a number of years, not well, but for, you know, 7 years, 6 years or so.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, like, after all this time, you don't see me at all.
Yes.
And you're like, that sucks. That sucks to know that someone doesn't actually see your heart and that feeling of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
And it's not going to stop me from moving forward.
That's it. I spoke into this very thing last night. I ran an online circle in my membership. And yeah, it is really challenging to, and it hurts when you feel misunderstood and you don't feel seen for who you are.
Yeah.
It's so hard. It is. It's hard. But I think the more that you keep leaning in and realize that, you know, they're not living your life, they're not paying your bills, you know, they're responsible for their life, but not yours, you know, to just keep leaning in no matter what, if it still keeps feeling right. But it is definitely challenging to have people throw arrows at you and not see you for who you are and not get you. It is hard, but I think, if you're wanting to create something different, you just have to keep going matter what, and find people that will support you in that journey.
Yeah.
Because it may not be your bestest friends, it may not be your family members, but it may be people that really see you in a different community. And I would say to anyone that's struggling with this to really find, even if it's two extra people that get you, and just, you know, meet up every month and talk about things like this, so you all feel understood and heard, and kind of keep you going, moving forward, instead of worrying about what others who are possibly closest to you not approving of anything that you're doing.
There's a quote that it's a bit sassy, but I love it. It's what is it? It's like, if they're not feeding, fucking, or financing you, their opinion's not relevant.
Yeah, you know?
And even in that, there's nuances, right? Like I've had partners or family members or, you know, bosses or whatever who've had opinions that go against what I believe to be true, and even then, it's like, hang on, I get to come back to myself and check in.
Yes.
No, this is still the right move for me. So thank you so much, and I'm gonna do me.
Yeah, that's it. I love that. And I think, you know, even just in that, it's responding versus reacting, right?
Yes.
And we can, like, choose our responses carefully. But, you know, if someone does have an opinion, take a quick stock take, I guess, and just think, oh, is there some relevance in what they have to say? Because I'm open to any opinion. Yes. And like you said, no, this feels good for me. I'm just going to keep doing that, but thanks anyway.
Yeah, it's that self-trust, hey?
Yep.
And that comes from knowing yourself and doing the work and taking arrows and healing from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really a muscle that we build. I think of how easily people's opinions used to throw me back in the day when I first started this work. And, you know, and I have people say to me all the time, like, how do you just not give a fuck anymore? And I'm like, honestly, because I've taken so many hits from people.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, there's still times where they hurt, but it's just like I trust myself so deeply, and I've healed from so many knocks that, like, I've got scar tissue now, right? Like, so, like, I've got a thick skin now.
Yeah.
There's times where I feel them, but I trust myself too much to let someone else's opinion pull me off course.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why it's so important for us healers or coaches or therapists or whoever, it's to be doing the work that we're preaching, because, you know, if you want longevity in your business or even just personally, that healing work is going to serve you in more ways than one.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So for anyone who's listening that wants to tune into, you know, more of your content or to work with you, where can they find you?
So on Instagram is probably the best place to find me. And then through the link in the bio, there's lots of things to look at for anyone into, you know, more of the esoteric realm and quantum healing space. There's stuff there for you. I also have an online course for emotional intelligence. It's just a 4-week online self-guided course that they can do. But yeah, have a look through my link tree and just see if anything jumps out at you and resonates with you. I do work one-on-one with people. And yeah, there's plenty to look at. I've also got a podcast as well. So yeah, lots to tune into if you resonate with me today.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much for jamming with me.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
What I will say, Tash, is that you're someone that stands out at the forefront of my mind of someone who walks the talk, practices what they preach, and is always doing the work. And when I say that, I mean from a place of embodiment, not from a place of, like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Keep doing the healing.
Mm.
But yeah, from that really beautiful space of like, because it's on your heart to do so.
Oh, thank you. That's beautifully received. I really appreciate those words. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Well, thank you again. And we will chat soon.
It's been fun.
Yay.
We'll have to do it again.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I hope everyone enjoyed it. And yeah, thank you for having me again.
My pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued. And I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts, every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to you all soon.